Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. No. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Playing for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Andy Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard Black Renaissance from Kember. That's the song that we play as introduction for the show. No doubt I do sound like I have a cold or something like that, but it's not really a cold. The situation is that I'm hoarse from today having been at a anti-Donald Trump rally, and I guess screaming my lungs out with all the chants that they had that were anti-Donald Trump. So you have to excuse the bass in my voice, so to speak, because even I hear it, you know, that kind of bass. But anyway, with that having been said, we have a few issues to go into tonight. Matter of fact, a lot of issues, actually. One will be the Bill Clinton issue continued, and the second issue will be Congressional Black Caucus, and the third issue will be LGBTQ community and corporate America. So that's the LGBTQ and corporate America. And also, I happen to have looked up the word Renaissance, and I guess last week when I had given a quasi-definition of it, I didn't give it fully or accurately, but right now I did look up the word, and then it says Renaissance, and what it was, so it says here is the humanistic revival of classical art, architecture, literature, and learning that originated in Italy in the 14th century, and later spread throughout Europe. And then it says, since B, the period of this revival, roughly the 14th through the 16th century, marking the transition from medieval to modern times. Interesting. Okay, so let us go on into the show. And, well, the first thing that I want to read out here is something concerning, excuse me, but it does feel like I do have a cold, but it's not exactly a cold. And then again, I have my above fan, my ceiling fan on, running all that cool air down on me. And the weather is great up this way also. Just want to mention that, too, being that it is springtime. We're having some great weather out here in New York. Loving it. So I wanted to read this article into the show concerning that situation that had taken place after the killing of Freddie Gray there in Baltimore, Maryland, and reference that young kid who burst out that police car window. He jumped on top of the police car, and then just excuse me, he with one of those cones, you know, those street cones that they use to block traffic or whatever, tell you the detour. He used one of those, if we recall, and smashed the police window. Well, anyway, he's had his day in court, and this is what has happened. It was written. This is dated March 29th, 2016. It says here the article is entitled "Teen Who Damaged Police Car in Riot is Sentenced." Excuse me. It says here that a teen who smashed a traffic cone through the windshield of a city police car during the riots in April was sentenced today. 19-year-old Alan Bullock, who pleaded guilty last month to charges against him, was sentenced to 12 years. Don't get excited. Let me finish reading. It says he was sentenced to 12 years, all but 6 months suspended. Bullock must serve 5 years of probation, 400 hours of community service, get his GED, and write an apology letter to the Baltimore City Police Department. Imagine that. But it is interesting the way law can be administered. I won't say justice, but the way law can be parceled out to or towards an individual concerning punishment for an offense committed against the state, so to speak. But that's interesting. It says that he was sentenced to 12 years. I guess that is what he would have gotten. I mean, a bit draconian or a bit harsh or extreme, but that is what, you know, per law, he could have gotten straight up 12 years. No probation, no community service. And I guess he might have gotten his GED while in prison, unless they have abolished that program even concerning the getting of a GED while incarcerated, if one should so choose to do so. But okay, but that's the situation with that guy. And if we remember, it was his family, his mother and father, whom had convinced him to turn himself into the police. And they initially had given the kid some outrageous bail. And the bail they had given the kid wasn't even anything like they had given the three Baltimore police who had actually killed or had a hand in killing Freddie Gray. Just out MFing rages. So anyway, well, so basically, well, God bless the kid, kind of got off. You'll have to know what I mean by he kind of got off. In a real sense, we could say that that the court system helped him, but hurt him too. Because I was once in a situation like that. That's a long story, and I was going through some things, and I finally got away from that situation by talking to people, and the result was that I was hurt, but I was helped as well, or I was helped, but I was hurt as well. That's a really long story. I won't even go into all of that. Which is something, moving on to something different here, which is something that that also had caused my thinking to really start changing, like a metamorphosis type situation. You know, how do they say that? When a metamorphosis take place, a good example would be like water constantly rushing over rocks, so to speak. Eventually, that rock is broken down into another element. and become something else. But anyway, that's a bit what has happened to me. And, well, in terms of intellectualism, I put it like that. And a part of my intellectualism today is having become an atheist. You know, I don't adhere to the idea of God, although I do, in fact, understand it. And at the same time, I'll say that I don't knock people who do believe in that kind of idea, because, like I said, I understand it. I'm not one of those who would just, you know, berate an individual for his or her belief, depending upon that belief. Anyway, this is something I had written in reference to a conversation I was having with a colleague of mine at the workplace. Let me see here the way I had written that there. Okay, I had written here, I was saying to a person the other day about the misconception many have about atheists. Many believe if a person does not believe in the idea of a God, then they are more so prone than not to do all manner of ill, cruelty, and or evil. Then I pointed out the fact or condition that those who profess to believe in the idea of God do in fact perform all manner of ill, cruelty, and or evil. He replied, well, I had written this here because of his reply when I said that. I said, he replied, I'll use your phrase. Well, matter of fact, he told me, his reply when I said that to him, he said to me, I'll use your phrase on that, which is, At least he thought about it. That's what I wrote after that. I said, at least he thought about it, right? But yeah, when I had said that to him, I guess because he hadn't thought of it like that. And all he could say to that was, But he told me before he said, I'll use your phrase on that, because when he and I do talk, I often use that phrase. But not just to him. I guess many people even tell me that I use that phrase, But to me, it's totally unconscious. You know, I don't know I said that many times until they've told me that I've done that and or asked me how come I always do that. And basically, I tell them, basically it's to let you know that I heard what you said and or that I'm listening to what you said. You know, just a manner of expression, you know, without saying anything, but to let the person know that I heard them and I'm listening. So, still moving right along, on to something else. These are what I call miscellaneous issues here that I'm bringing up before I go into the main issues here. They're important as well, I'd say. I mean, they have merit to them. And this next thing I want to go into is last week, Erica Badu. She was up in the news because of something that that she had said. And it's something about her. She said that, let's see here. She was talking about how, in her opinion, now mind you, I'm saying that in her opinion, she feels that girls should be required to wear knee-length dresses in schools for, I guess, a multiplicity of reasons. But anyway, I happen to have seen this first brought forth by watching Roland Martin of News 1. And what I had written out here was that Roland Martin of News 1 had a discussion on this issue today, but in the context of what Erica Badu said about young girls should be required to wear knee-length dresses at school. I can relate to what some of his panel were saying about how girls and women should be allowed to wear just what they want to wear. From within the paradigm of a rape culture from which they were speaking, it devolves on men to have enough respect and appreciation for the female form to allow girls and women to feel safe no matter where they are and no matter what they may decide to wear or not wear. That's my opinion about what Erica Badu was saying or had said. And like I said, on the news show, Roland Martin, him and his panel were, in fact, discussing that. And then some of the people brought up the aspect of what's called the a rape culture in this country. You know, here on the show, I've spoken about that before, how people talk about there's a rape culture that exists primarily because of the mindset of men toward women, and how many men tend to think that, unfortunately, if a woman is raped, she more so than not brought that upon herself through whatever cause or reason or whatever. But no, I wouldn't agree with that. No, not exactly. I mean, not at all. Not at all. Because it all revolves back on men, on man, being able to control himself regardless to the situation. Yeah. But there was also, how can I put this? But okay, before I go any further, we're going to have to take our first music break. It is 15 minutes to the hour, and we'll come right back. Right now, we're going to have a song from Myla J called Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future. This is from the CoverGirl mixtape, so here we go. Welcome back to Andy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Myla J. entitled Diamonds, featuring Drake and Future, and that's from the CoverGirl mixtape. And we're going right back into the issue that we were just on, well, the subject about Erykah Badu and her thoughts on girls having to wear or should wear knee-length skirts to school. I guess she was more so saying to school especially, or maybe just out in the public in general, primarily because of the, well, basically because of the attitudes or mindset of some men, basically. But, you know, also there on that Roland Martin News One segment, they had one woman who had brought up a situation of Erykah Badu 2 or 3, maybe 4 years ago, having done a video wherein she actually stripped in this video, walking in front of a whole bunch of men. I mean, if you all have seen the video, I know I recall I seen it, although they had blocked out, you know, the good parts. I'll be honest and say it like that. They blocked out the real good parts, but still, there it was. I mean, there she did that. And then now here we are 3, 4 years later, and now she's coming out like this. I mean, wouldn't there be a contradiction in her thinking at this point? Or maybe she's evolved and maybe she's thinking something different now. But I do in fact remember that when that woman had brought that up about that video, striptease video, basically. And well, can we say that the Erykah Badu, I mean, being a performer, a entertainer, and with a wide fan base, people look up to her, especially, I would imagine, you know, young girls, women, well, young girls in particular. And, you know, them having seen that and already dressing, well, some of them dressing the way they do dress, I mean, that gave them that gave them more cause or justification to continue dressing as they were dressing. And then now Erykah Badu is now coming out saying that girls should be wearing knee-length dresses to school and stuff like that. I mean, but I believe that a person should be able to wear what they want to wear. I'll put it like that, as I said earlier. But then again, I'll also amend that to say that girls, like guys, should be able to wear and or dress the way they choose to, within reason. Within reasonable bounds, I put it like that. You know, basically that, within reason. But then again, I guess to some, what may be reasonable to some is not reasonable to others. But then again, even there, I would disagree with that, because reason is reason. I mean, and it don't stray far. I would say that reason don't stray far from being reasonable. And then to say further, if something is reasonable, it doesn't stray into the realm of stupidity or foolishness. It just isn't like that, because reason is based on, you know, rationality and all those and that good thing, you know. So moving right along out of that, let us go into this guy, this host on ESPN. I ran across this a week or two ago and had meant to mention it on the show. Wherein it says here that ESPN host wears Caucasian shirt to call out Cleveland Indians. You know, I think they're a baseball team, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not really a sports fan. I don't really watch any of those sports. I don't. But I do recall having heard about this issue with it being considered inappropriate for sports teams to have Indian names like the Redskins or the Cleveland Indians, and I think there may be another one. But anyway, you know, there are a lot of people who say there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, how does the Indian feel about that? But then again, even there again, you have some Indians who will say also nothing wrong with that, but then again, you have those Indians who do say yes, there is something wrong with that. So where do we stand? But anyway, so based upon that, this ESPN host It says here, wears Caucasian shirt to call out Cleveland Indians, I guess, controversy. And the guy's last name happens to be Jones. It says here that Jones later explained to ESPN host Molly Quarim, that's Q-E-R-I-M, Quarim, that he chose the shirt because it was clean. A likely story. Anyway, he goes further to say, because they have him in quotes here, he goes further to say, and the other thing is, I think it's funny. It's just like the Cleveland Indians shirt, exactly the same as the Cleveland Indians shirt, with just one small change. That's it. And that one small change was him wearing a shirt with a Caucasian face or with a Caucasian face or head instead of an Indian face or head. And it just said Caucasian. And he thought that was funny. And the article goes further to say that the reason they won't get rid of the Chief Wahoo is completely indefensible. Is because they can still sell stuff with it, Jones added. They can say they're going to de-emphasize it, but they're not going to set money on fire. He went further to say, if you're quiet about the Indians, and now you've got something to say about my shirt, I think it's time for introspection. You know, when I read that, I thought, that could be a way to bring that point across. But where I differ or diverge in my opinion about it being a good way to bring that point across is it being a black person to have brought that point across by wearing a shirt with a Caucasian face or head on it and the word up there, Caucasian. Because I thought to myself, what if a Caucasian person would decide to do the same thing and on ESPN to wear a shirt with the head of a black person up there and it just says African? It could just be a regular black head or it could be a really offensive black head, the big red lips, and the bulging out eyes and stuff like that, and the big ass smile, therefore that's why I say that is it wasn't a good look for somebody black to have done that, because somebody white can do the same thing, and then we have charges of serious racism, which it would be, but then they can just say, well, look, he did it, how come I can't do it? But still, the issue would remain that that guy Jones who did that, he just did that, in my opinion, out of ignorance. That was total ignorance on his part, because he shouldn't have been the one to have done that, basically because of the condition in this country. And secondly, because we don't control anything in this country, especially the media. And in terms of propagating sentiments, so to speak, we don't control that. Caucasians do. So therefore, we've had enough derogatory things said about us, throughout this planet and throughout time immemorial. So in a real sense, we have to be careful with what we do or don't do and really, really, really think of the consequences of our actions. We really have to do that. Unlike a lot of people, they just take it for granted that they can do this or that. And, just take it for granted. And then again, even though they do take it for granted that they can do whatever, nothing happens to them. As we know, but as soon as we try to do it, all hell breaks loose. So I'm in disagreement with a black guy having done that. If it had been a Caucasian or even an Indian, if an Indian had did it, it would have been so much better, so much better. Just so, it would have been so much better. I think you all can understand where I'm coming from in saying what I just said there, especially the part about if it had been an Indian who had done it, American Indian, it would have been so much better. And straight to the point also. But I guess we can say that we don't have many American Indians on ESPN, right? Oh, well. So moving right along. Somebody can, call in, give feedback. Let me give out our caller number here. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Okay, and then also I have something else here about a 10th grader. A 10th grader's artwork is setting off a shitstorm of ridiculous controversy. This article here is entitled. The article starts off by saying, let's see here. Okay, it says that on March 15th, an exhibition of high school students' artwork went up in the atrium of Denver's Wellington Webb Municipal Building. And now, a lot of grown men are crying crocodile tears about it. An unnamed 10th grader responded to an assignment to recontextualize a piece of art history with contemporary themes by combining Goya's The Third of May, 1808, with the more recent A Tale of Two Hoodies by Michael D. Antuono. Those paintings commemorate the execution of Spanish resistance fighters by Napoleon armies and the murders of African-American youth by police and vigilantes, respectively. Predictably, the Black Lives Matter reactionaries are out in full force to cry victim. I like the way he worded that. I misread that. He said, predictably, the Blue Lives Matter reactionaries are out in full force to cry victim. But it could just as well have been Black Lives Matter reactionaries, those who react outrageous in terms of just the term Black Lives Matter. The article goes further to say that this is not, well, matter of fact, it has some guy in quotes saying, this is not freedom of expression, but an attempt to peddle hateful and racist trash as art. It is a racist message against police officers, claimed Butch Montoya, a former city safety manager in what has to be one of the highest, dumbest pieces of amateur art criticism. Email to the Denver Post. Well, he sent that email to the Denver Post. And the article goes further to say, let's dissect that statement, which begins with the erroneous assumption that freedom of expression and peddling hateful and racist trash are mutually exclusive concepts. Mostly, I'm baffled as to how something can be racist against police officers, which is a term denoting an occupation/position of power, not a racial identity. There's no long history of people being born as police officers and then facing systemic oppression and violence because they've inherited a certain percentage of police DNA. Nevertheless, the demographic certainly feels marginalized and personally attacked by the homework assignment of a teenage girl. And then I guess, again, here we have quotes, somebody saying, that's a horrible stereotype. Hands up, don't shoot. Never happened. We all know that. It's been proven, claimed Nick Rogers of the Denver Police Protective Association in an interview with local news. I guess he goes further to say, because we have more quotes here, he goes further to say, I love to sit down and talk to them, let them know who I am and who all cops are. I'm sorry. And the author of this piece says, I'm sorry. What exactly has been proven? The police killed 102 unarmed black people in 2015, and that only 9 of those killings were prosecuted. Or perhaps that Denver, where Rogers represents the Police Protective Association, has the second highest rate of police killings in the nation, second only to Baltimore. I'm going to have to stop that article there because we now have to go into another music break. It's 5 after the hour. I have to keep up with these breaks here. And let's see, the next song that we're going to go into will be another song from Myla J entitled Cover Girl. My mistake, is from the Cover Girl mixtape, and the song is from Myla J, but it's entitled Don't. So here we go. We'll be right back.
Don't play with her, don't be dishonest, ay. Still not understanding this logic, ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. I'm at somebody's home next up. Be damn if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fed up. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fuck him, girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any ever. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately, you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, girl, I'm just listening.
Same. And I don't know what to say, but
what a shame. Another nigga had to come and save the day. Clock in, Superman, okay. The only one that got me feeling this way. And I think so far, baby, no problem. Yeah, got that good, he be doing his thing. I'ma keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, holding
out, so down. Yeah, bitch, just in a nigga so cold. Yeah, look at the streets in my crib. Yeah, like, got a nigga so cold. Don't, yeah, bitch, just in a nigga so cold. Yeah, like, got a nigga so cold. Yeah, bitch, just in a nigga so cold.
Welcome back to Andy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard the song from Myla J entitled Don't from her CoverGirl mixtape. And okay, we're still on the issue of that high schooler who had done a painting show. And basically what the painting was, I guess I didn't mention what that painting was. She had painted a police officer basically holding a gun on a small child, but the police officer had on a Ku Klux Klan hood and his police uniform. So therefore the police uniform was shown, but instead of the police person's face being shown, it had a Ku Klux Klan on his head. And that's what all of this controversy came up. Well, that's how all this controversy started, because evidently police and I guess other persons in denial and thus feeling offended, you know, began to talk a whole lot of nonsense about, you know, how this is not freedom of expression, but hate speech and all that nonsense. Anyway, the author of this piece here, he writes that concerning the girl who did this art project, he says that if I were the girl whose artwork was at the center of this controversy, I'd be scared shitless to sit down with a representative of the Denver Police Department who have planned a meeting with the student and her parents. Imagine that. The police have planned a meeting with this girl and her parents, wanting to know, you know, why she would, wanting to know why she would construct or anyway just paint something like that. You know, what's wrong with her, they want to know, really. Anyway, the article goes further to say that this intimidation tactic and public shaming seem to have worked. The student has requested that the artwork be removed from the exhibition to quell the controversy. See, that's what happens when freedom of expression expresses real life, and especially against a ongoing systemic situation such as police intimidation and police murder of African Americans in particular. They want to know what's going on. So anyway, moving right along from that article. I'm thinking about if I should go on into this article or just go on into the main article, because time is moving. Time is always moving, and God, I always say God bless for that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go on into the main articles of the show, okay? And let me see here. Firstly, let me get this thing here situated. Okay, firstly, it's going to be, like I said, further continuation on the Bill Clinton. And I guess we could say the minor issue, the main issue is Bill Clinton, and the minor issue would be his wife, Hillary Clinton. But anyway, before I go there even, I got, well, another miscellaneous article about something I had seen on Facebook. And what I had seen on Facebook was a YouTube posting that was on the senator from Massachusetts, the current senator from Massachusetts named Elizabeth Warren. She was talking about Hillary Clinton when Hillary Clinton was when she was the first lady, not even an actual political figure, but she was just the first lady of the United States, having been married to Bill Clinton, the then president. Well, what Elizabeth Warren was talking about was how at a certain point at that time, the credit card company was trying to get legislation passed throughout the nation wherein it would be made harder for the average American citizen to file for bankruptcy. Because as you know, a lot of people, they get these credit cards and they run up a huge debt, or they have a few credit cards and they run up huge debts. And then to get out from under that, they want to they want to file for bankruptcy to avoid paying what they owe. And credit card companies, I guess this had been being done so much and is done, I guess, so much that they want to stop that so they could make more money. Anyway, so Elizabeth Warren, she was well versed in the bankruptcy laws. And at that point, the legislation was before Congress, make a long story short, and they were just getting ready to bring it to the president, who then was Bill Clinton, for his signature to make it go forward as law. But what happened, as Elizabeth Warren tells it, is that Hillary Clinton had heard about her expertise in the bankruptcy laws. So she says, got with her and had her explain about bankruptcy laws, how it goes, how it shouldn't go, and things of that nature. And Elizabeth Warren has said that she explained the situation to Hillary and has said basically that it wouldn't be a good law for the people of this country. So, and she also said that Hillary Clinton is smart, that she caught on pretty quick to what she had explained, listened well, and was able to ask questions about what she was being told. And going further into this story, as the YouTube video showed, and based upon what Elizabeth Warren had told Hillary Clinton, she then went and explained the situation to her husband and others, and therefore when the bill came to Bill Clinton for signature, he vetoed the bill. However, it turns out that later on, when Hillary Clinton was the senator of New York, that same bill came up again in the Senate, and this time Hillary Clinton signed that bill. Well, she voted for that bill, but the bill that she voted for was the very same bill that she had schooled her husband on and caused him to veto the bill. So it kind of shows, Hillary Clinton's duplicity in that. And having seen that video, what I had then written, because Hillary Clinton, as we know, is now running for the highest office in the land, what I had written was, let's see here. Okay, I had written, Hillary supporters don't know about this, I guess. Maybe it's more so a thing about Hillary supporters don't care about this. Yet, how can they not care about what's said here and simultaneously act as if they are, for the average citizen, getting a fair chance or break in terms of the American ideal? Elizabeth Warren is saying Hillary Clinton is smart, yet it's never been about if a person is smart or not, but about how that smartness or intelligence is used. She's further saying Hillary Clinton was responsible for helping overly business-friendly Bill Clinton avoid a political mistake for the nation, but then she herself making the same mistake when she was Senator of New York. Now, I'm wondering if that bill only pertained to New York or if it had national implications. If that bill did only pertain to New York business, was she good for the people of New York or just for the business people of New York? What are Hillary Clinton supporters blinded by? Yet Hillary supporters contend supporters of Senator Bernie Sanders are the blind ones. Yeah, indeed. And one of my Facebook friends had responded to that post by having written. She said the same thing. Some people will not educate themselves on voting. They're comfortable in the dark. Oh, she's a woman. I want a woman in the White House. Oh, she's Bill's wife. I love Bill when he was president, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's what a Facebook friend of mine had written upon having seen that video. Outrageous. But, you know, that's what a lot of people say. How can I put it? The supporters of Hillary Clinton are stuck on the notion, and I'm quite sure they know it's false. The supporters of Hillary Clinton, women in particular, are stuck on the notion that many people, men, Hillary's women supporters are stuck on the notion that men won't vote for Hillary because Hillary's a woman. And I think, as I've said on this show before, that's not even true. It's not true by me, and I'm willing to bet that it's not true by a lot of other men, because there are some women also who wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. But at the same time, concerning men who won't vote for Hillary Clinton, it's got nothing to do with her sex. It's more so got to do with her credibility. Primarily, I mean, because just what I just said about that video that Elizabeth Warren was schooling us on about how she taught Hillary what she taught her, and telling her that bill wasn't good for the American people, and she convinced her husband not to sign it, but yet she's going to go and vote for it when she's senator. I mean, they call that a flip flop, you know, in political terms today, a really, really, really anti-intellectual term. I put it like that, a flip flop. That's a lot of, well, BS, which is also not really intellectual to say that it's BS, but we know what it was. It wasn't. It was just shenanigans, a con. I mean, just simply seeking to enrich herself, no doubt. Okay, last week we had left off on the issue with Bill Clinton and his situation with the Black Lives Matter protesters. And there was a lot said on Facebook, and something somewhat in the news, but I like more what my Facebook friends were saying than what the talking heads of the news were saying. Because you even had people talking about how he should apologize for having come off on the Black Lives Matter protesters for having spoken like that, that he should apologize to them. And also they're saying, the talking heads of the media are also saying that he should apologize for that crime bill that he signed way back then. And I mean, an apology? Is that it? It's like in these days, a person can do the most egregious thing, and then all they have to do is apologize. F out of here. FOH. That's not working like that. The American people need much more than an apology from Bill Clinton. But then again, at this late date, what can he give us for what he's done? I mean, to make up for what he's done, what can he do? Really, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, that's nothing. Because he did what he did. But anyway, what I got here says these are some of the Facebook postings that that I had read. One says that I had written first that some say Bill Clinton lost his composure and wasn't aware of what he was saying. That is when he said what he said to those Black Lives Matters protesters. And then again, it turns out to have been that these people weren't even actually a part of the Black Lives Matter movement. They were a part of, no doubt, some other organization, if they were even organized. But like nowadays, whenever protests take place and Black people are there, they are just automatically painted with the Black Lives Matter movement brush. Typical. Just another way to not explain what they should be explaining. Outrageous. But anyway, the first statement says that Bill Clinton knew exactly what he was doing with that tirade against Black Lives Matters. And then what I had written there initially was basically he's just like his wife and many others in the political structure are moral. The only time such individuals care about right or wrong is if right or wrong is related to enriching themselves. The urban adage, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense, is true with the like of such individuals. Remember that phrase, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense? You think politicians don't think like that? Hell, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. The urban phrase, it fits the whole gamut of greedy individuals. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. And then also another Facebook friend of mine had this to say. She said that his antics this week forever changed how I view him. When somebody tells you who they are, believe them. Sure, she says, Bernie Sanders has the bleeding hearts on lock, but the Clinton campaign is not just interested in winning over liberals and progressives. They also hope to garner votes from the disaffected whites who feel left behind in the economic and demographic shifts of the country. That's pretty good there. And then another Facebook friend had written this. She says that this is precisely my take on that performance. This is the same man that said, referring to Obama a few years ago, he would have been carrying our bags. That's in quotes. She quotes Bill Clinton as having said that a few years ago. He would have been carrying our bags. The same one who attacked Sister Soldier during his presidential campaign to earn credibility from whites as a new Democrat by publicly disrespecting and distancing himself from Black people. And let's not even get into policy discussions around welfare reform and the crime bill. Two unmitigated disasters for Black people. Let's be clear about one thing. This man is no dummy. In fact, I'd say he's a political genius. These aren't mistakes. It's calculation and manipulation at its best. And that goes back to what I said. He's immoral. That's different. That's different from being immoral, because when you are immoral, you at least know the difference between right and wrong, or you do know to consider right and wrong in your doings. But a person who's immoral, they don't give a damn about I laugh, but I shouldn't laugh. But a person who's immoral, they don't give a damn about right and wrong. It goes back to what I said before concerning that urban adage, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. That's what a person who's immoral when it comes to money especially is only concerned about. That's when it comes to money. But a person who is immoral is even worse in other aspects of living, and especially living amongst other people. They're even worse they're outright outraging and egregious and all those words. They're even worse. They are a different species of people. They are a different species of humanity, I'd even say. And they ought to be watched. And I'd even say that it's those kind of people who should be jailed for their own safety and for the safety of others. And Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are definitely one of those people out in the public eye. But it's too bad that many of us, we don't see that. We just don't see it. Anyway, here's something else as well. But before I go into this other piece here, still on Bill Clinton and the situation with those protesters who were calling him out on his crime bill that he signed, and also calling out his wife too about her comment about, well, calling black people super predators, and something that she was saying, showing her support for that crime bill that her partner in crime signed and happened to have been her husband also. So right now we're going to go on into another music break, and we're going to be right back. And the song that we're going to hear right now is from Lydia Caesar. It's entitled Lifted. So here we go. Lydia Caesar, her song entitled Lifted. We'll be right back.
Lydia Caesar, got a remix for ya. Yeah. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull off some tricks, and I be like, ooh. My man, he got the golden gloves, the Midas touch, loving like, ooh. He know I can never get enough, my favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want the ordinary love, oh. I went and found my diamond in the rough, now he's mine. He ain't flawless and I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. Euphoria, I want more, yeah. Baby, take me
every
higher.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted, yeah.
So lifted. Got to admit, I'm addicted, baby. For a sweet lips, the way we kiss, body like ooh. Strung out on his fingertips, with every grip, I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love, oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough, now he's mine. He ain't flawless and I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And while we were on the break there, I looked up the word immoral because a lot of us probably haven't heard this word before, or maybe even knew it was in existence, because I think I've said before on the show, I recall through reading when I first came across this word, I was shocked. Honestly, I was really shocked. I was stupefied. I was wow. I mean, it blew me away basically, because I had heard of the word immoral, but never heard of the word amoral. And what the word immoral says in terms of definition, it being defined, it says lacking a moral sense, unconcerned with the rightness or wrongness of something. And then it says an immoral attitude to sex. And it says synonym, unprincipled, without standards, without morals, without scruples, unscrupulous, Machiavellian, unethical. And then it puts the word in a sentence. It says here, are we rearing an immoral generation spoon-fed on trash TV and violent video games? I don't see, well, that's just a sentence that they put out there. But that's the word immoral. That's the definition for a moral, a terrible word. And, I mean, a word like that can make a person, you know, think if they hadn't been thinking before, honestly. Anyway, still hear something on Bill Clinton and that situation. I happen to have seen on Facebook also a video published or produced by this guy named, his name is Charles Blow. He's, I forget if he's on CNN or if it's on MSNBC sometimes. He's a political, he's one of their political contributors. He's a black guy also. And he did a video about Bill Clinton in that situation. And he was also speaking in terms of Clinton apologizing for that mishap, supposedly a mishap in him saying what he said. Because, see, Charles Blow wants to give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't really know what he was saying. He was caught up in the heat of the moment in trying to defend his wife. But anyway, what I had written in response to that video, I had said, just a second, let me do something quickly. Okay. What I had written there was, Bill Clinton would have zero problems or no qualms of conscience of owning what he said with reference to what you're ticked off about. Because Charles Blow was ticked off about that this situation. And I went further to say, you're talking about an individual without a conscience who has no soul, who is actually characterless and unprincipled, as quiet as is kept. I simply use the word immoral when speaking of him or his wife. Michelle Alexander has already written, and recently, about how he kind of made or offered an apology about what he said in defense of his wife's statement back in that day. It said, he said, I almost feel like apologizing. That's almost like, or just like, his statement of almost smoking marijuana but not inhaling. I'm like Dr. Stacey Patton. To hell with Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary. And then I had written, you know, this posting is in response to Charles Blow's video. Okay, still moving further along in this Clinton issue. Okay, I guess this is still in regards to people talking about Bill Clinton didn't know what he was doing or saying when he went off on those people protesting him and his wife. What I had written here was him and Hillary are so used to talking and are dealing with older African-Americans, the likes of John Lewis and that other Uncle Tom down in South Carolina, Jim Clyburn. Just saying, when I had initially heard of Bill Clinton's, this is something different. This is going somewhat when I first heard of Bill Clinton. I had said, when I had initially heard of Bill Clinton's rise in the political arena and how he had answered the question of him smoking pot, it said he replied, I smoked marijuana, but I didn't inhale. Instantly, I knew this clown was full of bull cookies. As time passed and he became president, I then began to hear a black folk talking how he, Bill Clinton, is our first black president. By then I had evolved to know some people are just crazy. Then too, I learned recently it was Toni Morrison who bestowed that title on him. Toni Morrison, and this is what I had written about Toni Morrison, some history, so to speak, that I had with her. Toni Morrison and I had once been engaged in a back and forth, an argument, so to speak. She, at the time, was on a book tour in Berlin, Germany. I was there. The woman I was with at the time knew of her and brought me along to listen to her lecture. Her and I were really going back and forth with what she had been talking about. Then I thought to myself, let me stop this. These people are here to hear what she has to say, not what I have to say. Thus I let her get the last word in. Yes, I did. Toni Morrison, she's the one who's credited with dubbing Clinton as being the first black president. But then again, you have some people who say that she said that somewhat in jest, or as an analogy to something else, which is really negative about black men, but you know how some people will justify anything, because anything can really be justified, not logically or not rationally, but just with words. Okay, what I have here is something from one of the Black Lives Matters founders. And it says here she was really the co-creator of Black Lives Matter, co-creator. She like a co-sponsor, like let's say Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. Huey P. Newton is reputed to be the founder of the Black Panther Party, and then Bobby Seale is reputed to be the co-founder. So this person here is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, a woman by the name of Alicia Garza. And it says here that in an essay posted at CNN.com, Black Lives Matter founder Alicia Garza blasted both Bill and Hillary Clinton after former President Clinton attempted to defend his 1994 crime bill in a speech in Philadelphia on April 7th. And the article goes further to say, in what was supposed to be a speech in support of his wife, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and her presidential run, the former president went off script after hecklers yelled directed questions around mass incarceration at him. Though it has been reported that those protesting Bill Clinton in Philly were not formally a part of Black Lives Matter, it's clear from Clinton's response that that's who Clinton thought they were. And this article goes on to quote what Clinton has said. It says that Clinton said, and I've seen the video, he really said this. He said, we have 13-year-old kids planning their own funerals. We have 13-year-old kids planning their own funerals. She, the protester, doesn't want to hear any of that, Clinton said. You know what else she doesn't want to hear? Because of that bill, we had a 25-year low in crime, a 33-year low in the murder rate. And listen to this. Because of that and the background check law, a 40-year low in the deaths of people from gun violence, and who do you think those lives were? It says Clinton said that in Philadelphia. And it goes further to say that Clinton said, I don't know how you would characterize gang leaders who got 13-year-old kids hopped up on crack and sent them out to the street to murder other African-American children. Maybe you thought they were good citizens. She didn't. You are defending the people who killed the lives you say matter. Tell the truth, Clinton said, defending the use of the term super predators by his wife, the First Lady Hillary Clinton, during a speech in 1996. Can you imagine that? He really said that. He put the blame entirely on black people, primarily for how can I put it? He put the blame for the need on black people for that crime bill that he signed that did so much devastation to black people. And many people at the time knew that that was an anti-black law, or even an anti-black bill, so they had said, an anti-black piece of legislation, so they had said. Many knew it, but again, they didn't care because they wanted some dollars in their pockets primarily. And then, the prison industrial complex is a booming business still, incarcerating people for pay. But anyway, still with this article here, it says that the next day, in a slight rollback, he said he almost wanted to apologize for his words. Almost wanted to apologize. Something else, isn't it? And then the article goes on to say that the Clintons have simultaneously depended on black votes and thrown black voters under the bus for years now, Garza wrote in response. Bill Clinton's comments on Thursday were not the result of someone tired of being protested. His comments were the result of someone who has no shame in using black voters to get what they want. That's what Garza wrote. Shamelessly, in defense of his 1994 crime bill, which both he and Hillary Clinton vigorously campaigned for, Clinton declares, "Maybe you thought they were good citizens. You are defending the people who kill the lives you say matter." And like, check out that statement. That's a typical Clintonian or Clintonian phrase there that don't mean a damn thing. He said, "You are defending the people who kill the lives you say matter." To him, in essence, black lives really don't matter. Out MF and rages. And still, you got black people who are going to really vote and who are really voting for his wife for president. Really. Out MF and rages. Okay, and the article goes on to say that, she says, this person, Gaza, she says, "But it is shameful. Shameful because the lives," just a second. She says, "It is shameful. Shameful because the lives of so many who were ravaged by that bill was the bridge that Clinton attempted to walk over in order to appeal to white voters who may have otherwise favored Donald Trump or Ted Cruz." Gaza continued in a blistering response to the former president's words. "The Clintons are notorious for finger wagging, particularly as it relates to black people. Ultimately, what Bill Clinton said Thursday in Philadelphia was that black people are problems to be solved, and that black protest is egregious because it supports black people who act badly." That's what she said, this woman named Gaza. And I can agree with what she said. Maybe, I want to say not in the way that she said it, but I more so understand what she's saying. Exactly, because like I said, they don't have any morals. I mean, they are immoral. What can you say about somebody like that? Okay, and moving right along, something else here still on Clinton. Okay, this here is something that I just happened to written off in terms of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. I had posted this on Facebook early one morning, watching TV and seeing something that was shown on TV, the TV news. Excuse me. I had written here or asked the question more so, who is more authentic, Clinton or Sanders? Bernie Sanders. And then I wrote, Hillary Clinton claims she's a New Yorker. She was only a New Yorker for as long as it took to be eligible for running for the senator of New York. Sanders was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and graduated from the University of Chicago in 1964. While a student, he was an active civil rights protest organizer for the Congress of Racial Equality and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. After settling in Vermont in 1968, Sanders ran unsuccessfully third-party campaigns for governor and U.S. senator in the early to mid-1970s. In 1990, he was elected to represent Vermont at large. Let me back up and say, in 1990, he was elected to represent Vermont's at-large congressional district in the U.S. House of Representatives. In 1991, Sanders co-founded the Congressional Progressive Caucus. And they say more there about Sanders, but then I went on to write, Congressman John Lewis, civil rights icon, said he never saw Sanders at the March on Washington. Yet Bernie Sanders was an organizer for the organization which John Lewis held a leadership position in. Sanders was an organizer for CORE and SNCC, two major civil rights organizations of that day. SNCC, which means Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, was also the organization where John Lewis held a leadership position in, and was the organization from which he was ousted from for being not radical enough. How radical was John Lewis? How radical was Bernie Sanders? So I guess in what I'm writing here, I'm really asking about the authenticity of both Hillary Clinton and John Lewis as it pertains, and then again including Bernie Sanders. So therefore, who is more authentic? Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, John Lewis? Bernie outstrips both of them by leaps and bounds in his commitment and in his sincerity and in his authenticity. That's what I would say. And then also, let's see here. Well, no, this here is on Bernie Sanders still. But I guess I do want to read this out here, because this did in fact happen. But before that, we're going to have to go into another music break, because it is 15 minutes to the hour. And we're going to have a song here now from, let me get it straight here. All right, another song from Myla J entitled Don't, and also from her CoverGirl mixtape. This is Myla J, her song entitled Don't.
Don't play with her, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. Somebody saw him next up. Be damn if I let him catch up. It's easy to see that you're fitter. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fuck him, girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, girl, I'm just listening.
Keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So don't.
Welcome back to India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. You got some questions? Ask them. You got something to say? Say it. Anyway, the song we just heard, that was from Myla J, entitled Don't, from her CoverGirl mixtape. Okay, so we were just talking about the situation with, what was that? I think I had just left off something about Bernie Sanders. Yes, I did, and concerning his authenticity and the lack of authenticity with her and so many other politicians, black politicians included. Really? Well, anyway, what I'm going to read off now into the show is something concerning the debate that just took place between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Okay, I wanted to read this off into the show. What I had written here is that I'm glad I've been afforded the opportunity and utilized that opportunity to have acquired internet access years ago. If I hadn't done so, I'd not have known what had taken place during this debate last night. If I'd only had the words of media commentators, I'd have been thinking Hillary Clinton had done a better job and or stupendously better job than Senator Bernie Sanders had done. I missed the actual debate last night due to a interesting and good family situation. However, having just seen what I'm now posting, because I had in fact watched the debate the next day on YouTube, and I had posted it to my Facebook page, hence I'm writing this. I'd initially say Senator Sanders had better talking points than Hillary Clinton. Then I'd say, based upon his talking points, he clearly had more to say to us. We've heard what Hillary Clinton is talking about since we've been of voting age. Sanders is offering us something new, untried. I would therefore conclude Senator Sanders clearly won this debate and thus should win this New York primary too. And then I wrote or asked the question, how can any New Yorker in good conscience vote for Hillary Clinton, especially an African-American New Yorker? I'm a New Yorker. No way in heaven or hell or what's in between would I vote for Hillary Clinton, knowing what I know and then all that I've just said about her. And also something else, too, with what I had said earlier about Senator Elizabeth Warren and her having tutored Hillary Clinton on the credit card bill that was before the Congress and therefore also the bankruptcy laws. I have posted that video on the page of a Facebook friend of mine. However, this Facebook friend of mine is a Hillary Clinton supporter. And I recall that something she had posted had appeared on my page about the debate. And I had posted something back about the debate. And then she said to me that she don't know what debate I was watching if I can conclude that Bernie Sanders did better than Hillary Clinton or therefore had won the debate. She said, you and I must not have seen the same debate. You know, she's a Hillary Clinton supporter. And, I mean, God bless her with that. But, I will say it. I really thought she was more politically intelligent than that. But then again, she would also say to me that she would have thought that I was more politically intelligent than to be voting for Bernie Sanders. But that's that. But coming to say what I was going to say, I'm going to say now concerning the Elizabeth Warren video that I had seen and I had read off into the show. I had posted that entire video onto her page. You know, I had specifically, exclusively posted it to her page. And don't you know? Well, you don't know, but let me tell you. She took it. She deleted it. She took it down. I mean, she don't want to hear that about Hillary Clinton. I mean, truth is truth. I mean, it's a known thing that truth is truth no matter who's saying it and no matter who it is against who it is against and makes you feel bad or whatever. You just have to, swallow that pill. I mean, you know, realize at that point, okay, I didn't know this. I didn't know that. And then maybe, you know, your opinion might start to change a bit. But no, she didn't want to hear that at all. She just took the video down completely. Because I had went to I guess I'll say it this way, not necessarily her and her friends, because I still do consider myself a Facebook friend of hers, although we differ politically on this issue. But some more Hillary supporters on her page had written something in regards to that video. And I figured that I would post something back to the video that they had said. And when I had posted something back, I realized that, you know, my post, it had said that this video is no longer there. I said, damn, that's how I knew that she had taken it down. I mean, she couldn't stand the truth. Terrible. And I had known that she was one who would be like that. I mean, but she's a diehard Hillary Clinton supporter. And she's black. And she's a woman. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, really. But that's the way it is. I mean, again, I guess we all think differently. But then again, sometimes how differently is our thinking? It almost seems to me, I don't know, I won't even say that part. Well, I will say it, yes. It almost seems to me that maybe Hillary has promised us something. I don't know. It must be that. But anyway, still, concerning that debate that they just had here in New York and in Bernie Sanders' home city, Brooklyn. Wow. During that debate, the situation about Israel had come up. You know, the state of Israel over there had come up in the debate. And a lot of people tend to give Bernie Sanders credit for actually being the first American politician to not be so blinded by the state of Israel, and therefore being willing to call out the state of Israel for wrongs that it has committed against the Palestinian people over there in that area. I mean, because really no other American politician has or does do this. To them, the state of Israel can do no wrong. And further, to the majority, well, not much, but to all American politicians, the Palestinian people are all wrong. All wrong. And if they are to be considered at all, they are to be considered in conjunction with the state of Israel, but on a lesser level. It doesn't make sense. And Bernie Sanders is the first politician to come out and say that how did he put it? He has said that everything that Israel does isn't necessarily right. And when I heard that, I just had to say, go Bernie, really. But anyway, we're coming up on the last seconds of this show tonight, and I'm going to have to say good night until next Sunday night at this time. And we're going to leave off with a song, and I like to leave off with the song by our producer of Dollhouse Radio entitled "You Don't Deserve Me." So with that said, everybody have a good night and listen to this song.